Guess what day it is.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
On a program today, we'll do the Masters picks coming up. That ought to be a train wreck. That's about 20 minutes away. Karen Conti on the law. Oak Park's own Tom Lennon, part of the Odd Couple on CBS with Matthew Perry. And Tom's very funny. He'll be on. I don't know if it'd be funny today, but, I mean, generally he's pretty funny. He may suck today. I don't know, but, I mean, we're hoping for the best. Peter Greenberg will be on. Peter's always great. And we'll talk to Peter not just about terrorism and airports around the world, but also about stuff that, you know, is actually fun. Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut. Buzz is always fun. You know, the older Buzz Aldrin gets, the better guest he is because he just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be fabulous. Dean Richards later. John Nichols from Wisconsin. We'll get to the primary results in just a second. Hawks Express after another huge night. Hawks have scored 48 goals in the last three games.
Not quite, but close.
It's a lot. And after nine, you'll meet Lauren Majira. I believe that's it. Is it Majira or Majira? Oh, she's listening to another show.
Majira.
Majira?
Yeah.
Lauren Majira, the new sports anchor at Channel 9.
Yes. Very psyched to have her.
The first female sports broadcaster ever, WGN Television.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's about time we got on board, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's awesome, too. You'll really like her.
Dave, you're in touch with your feminine side. How come you didn't get a vote?
Well,
Kurt Byron will be on later from the Masters. And Katie O'Connor will be on. You know who Katie is?
That's little Katie 2.
We say goodbye to one more millennial.
Oh.
All the millennials are leaving.
Isn't that odd?
Jake, did we determine if you're a millennial?
Domo Arigato.
We've got robotos.
All right, I don't know why Bill and Wendy are on now.
Jake, I think he's a millennial.
Jake,
that was a millennial move, right?
Did
there.
We ever determine if you're a millennial? Jake, don't worry about the sound for a second. Turn your microphone on.
Jake's a millennial.
Did I hire you? What am I doing?
I think you're immediately regretting that decision at the moment.
At 30 old, are you a millennial or not?
I think I still do fit in there. I think once you get to 31.
Oh, you're just under the
number. I got a couple of months.
Ooh.
So you know what he is now? He's the last millennial.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bill, when do you agree?
So
when we play, can we just play like Stump the Millennial? And just toss all the just.
We probably just change it to Stump Jake.
Stump Jake.
Yeah. All right, 6:14 now, and last night in the Wisconsin primary, it went as the polls suggested it would, with Bernie Sanders winning in the Democrats race, and Hillary Clinton now moving on to New York. But delegates, because of the proportional nature of the distribution of the delegates on the Democrat side, Bernie made up like four. We'll get the full details later in the big story and from Wisconsin. But on the other side, Ted Cruz in a cakewalk for the Republicans, which makes it almost impossible now for Trump to get to the number, the 1237 number, to cinch the nomination prior to going to an open convention and a vote on a second ballot or a third ballot or beyond. And we'll maybe, if we have time today, we'll get an explanation of how that's going to work as best we understand it. But 1237 is a number, and Trump would have to win 60% of the remaining delegates to get there. Now, there's this super fan in Wisconsin who is at, I think he's at a radio station, might be a TV station, who wants to help us out with our Wisconsin coverage. And let me go to the phone for that. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Hey.
And your name is?
My name is Jimmy the Bushman Todorowski.
And Jimmy, you're a fan of the show?
Yeah, I like the show there. I do. Us radios people's got to stay together. I'm up here on WIIZ, up here, The Wiz, up in Waukee, just north of Krivitz on 141 there.
Dave, you did a game for them, didn't you?
I did. It was early in my career.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, you're the political director there?
Well, I do a little bit of everything. I got an afternoon show. I do the drive time on The Wiz from 3:30 to about 3:45.
Well, so it's a short show, but you're busy.
Well, yeah, we got one traffic report. I usually pre-record it, 141 clear.
Pre-record the traffic
report?
Well,
there's only one road. There's only one road that goes through Waukee, so that, you know, it's not, you know, you can pretty much count on it being okay.
Okay,
so you change it up if there's an accident.
Right. We're up, I don't know if you know the area up here, but it's pretty good. We got you know, Tom Hulce was born up here. You know the actor from Amadeus?
Oh, Amadeus.
No.
All right, so Jimmy, have you had a lot of the candidates prior to yesterday? Did they come through town?
Oh, yeah, that was great. You know, I was really looking forward to Bernie Mac and Hillary Clinton, the whole thing. That was great. First time in my life I had a bagel.
You know, oh, when Bernie was in town, he brought bagels?
He brought a bagel with some, I don't know what it was, Ader. It was like a cheese thing, but it, you did it with a knife. You spread it. I don't
sure.
know what the heck.
Yeah.
Cream
but,
cheese.
Yeah, cream cheese,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not really on his normal diet.
No.
All right, well, listen, let's check in with you a couple times this morning, and you can tell us what the fallout is after the big vote yesterday. Is that going to work?
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I was talking to your producers, Harry Sandberg and Mike Jacoby. They were telling me that you could put me in touch with Wolf Blitzen.
Oh, you're a big Wolf fan, are you?
I love the guy. Love the guy.
Yeah. I know Wolf a little bit, so, yeah, we'll make a call. All right, could you hold on?
Yeah, no problem there. I'm here. I'm just going to...
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Let's go to Mary, who loves this. Ever since she used to do this with Spike, she loves picking golfers.
I researched them, and I'm ready to go. Louis Oosthuizen.
It's a tradition unlike any other, including my fascination with burnt toast. You know, I have a laminated card with a picture of burnt toast in my wallet. You know the story, right?
Yes.
Jim Nance's wife gave him a picture of the burnt toast that he loves for breakfast every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he laminated it, puts it in his wallet when he goes to a diner on the road. He shows it to the waitress so she knows just how to burn his toast.
Mm-hmm. Not too light. Not too dark.
Okay, Captain Freaky.
And he gives his ties away, we found out the other night after the NCAA championship.
I remember when Nance was normal, do you?
I do. I never heard the tie thing before the other night.
See, you're thrown by the tie thing. I think the toast thing is over the edge for me.
Well, maybe.
Jim Nance will have the coverage, of course, at the Masters this weekend. And it gets underway tomorrow. So let's go to the picks. Beginning with my mom, I had my mom pick. Now, she's very busy at this hour of the day. She does the Pete McMurray show.
Oh, that's what she does? I thought she had, like, Mahjong and things like that to do.
She loves Pete.
Yeah, she's always loved Pete. And so I asked her to do the picks, and she doesn't text.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to text my my little sister to get the picks from her so then she could text me back.
Ah, got it. Okay.
Now, my sister doesn't like sports. So she had no idea what she was texting. She might as well have been texting ancient Latin. But all right, you ready, Jake? You're going to make a note of these. Okay? And by the way,
wait
are a millennial.
Wait, time.
Yeah.
What happened to
How
this?
How do you already have a question?
Because you sent this elaborate message last night about...
I was trying to make it easier, and obviously it didn't work.
Are you kidding me? It was so confusing about how the picks were going to be. You said youngest to oldest. Now you're going with your mom first.
She's not here.
Well, I know, but... Okay, fine.
Adam Scott.
Already the rules are shot.
Adam
And poor Orion's not here to help me.
Here's the deal. Everybody picks three. Everybody picks three picks. You're stuck with your three picks for the entire tournament. If any of your three picks don't make the cut, their score is doubled after Friday. So you're stuck with a negative for the weekend as well. Total low score wins at the end of the tournament. You'll give me a fourth pick. The fourth pick will be the tiebreaker. How hard is that?
I don't know. You had all these numbers you were throwing down and this and that and...
So my mom picks Adam Scott, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and her tiebreaker is Justin Spieth, who isn't even a person.
Well, he's a combination of the other Justin guy. And
she probably meant Spieth.
The Jays,
don't you think?
It's because my sister texted the answer. Who is it?
Who? Louis Oosthuizen.
So give her Justin Spieth. All right, so let's go now with the texters, or I should say with the picks, starting with the youngest. And Jake, guess what? That's you, and you are a millennial. Who are your three?
I'm going to go with Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson.
Okay.
And my outlier will be Martin Keimer.
Okay, and your tiebreaker?
Didn't pick a tiebreaker. Forgot about that.
Well, go ahead and pick one now. We're waiting.
Justin Spieth.
Justin Spieth. You're also going with Justin Spieth?
We'll go with Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson is your tiebreaker. By the way, you can't pick the same tiebreaker. That's the only rule.
What?
Yeah, so if somebody has already called that player, they call them. Sandberg, you're next. Who are your three?
Brooks Koepka,
Patrick
Reed. Well, you got like such a crush on Brooks Koepka.
Oh, I can't hear him.
He's just saying you got a crush on him, Mayor.
I said you have such a crush on Brooks Koepka.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know who he is.
He's this tall drink of water.
Good looking?
Brooks Koepka and who else?
You want the whole list? Patrick Reed and Adam Scott.
And then who's your tiebreaker?
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas. Does he know Justin Spieth? Was he at the meeting?
I think so.
All right, fine. Andrea, you're next.
It's like taking candy from a baby. All right. If you don't want to give me the trophy just now, here are my picks. Spieth, sure. Justin Rose, and Day.
All right. And your tiebreaker?
Stenson.
Heinrich Stenson.
That's right.
Okay.
Candy from a baby, right?
Moving along the list. All right. Are you ready, Mary?
Oh, it's my turn.
It's your turn.
How exciting. Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Bubba Watson.
Good. Now, who helped you with those?
No one. I did this myself.
I doubt that. And your tiebreaker?
Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah, you
What's
did
wrong
it yourself.
With that?
Yeah, you did it yourself.
What?
You
Somebody
even know
said
Charlie
he was a
Hoffman
long shot?
Charlie Hoffman. You thought Charlie Hoffman was an Allstate agent. You don't know who Charlie Hoffman
I
is.
I just think he's got a nice little name and we'll go. I was going to go with Louie again, but I can't say it, so forget it.
Moving on, John DeCoste, you're next.
I'm going to go with Ben Hogan.
No.
Gene Sarazen.
No, they have to actually be in
Pink
the
Floyd and Vic Tabak.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going on.
You always pick Vic Tabak. That's funny.
You actually have to go with people in the tournament.
Okay.
That's a new rule this year.
Mine are the same as Mary's.
No, you can't pick the same as Mary's.
Oh.
Well, you can actually pick the three, but you'll need a different tiebreaker.
Okay.
You want me to pick for you?
Yeah, would you?
Okay.
I'm going to write them down.
Nope, not fair.
Ben Hogan is not working?
Ben Hogan is dead. Okay. Who are your other picks?
How about Gentle Ben?
Gene Sarazen is dead.
Bobby
Gene
Jones.
Gene Sarazen is dead?
Yes.
Okay, well, who doesn't tell me this stuff ahead of time?
Go with Tiger.
What about Pink Floyd? They're still
Pink
around,
Pink Floyd
right?
is not dead, but they're
Can
not,
I take the Pink Floyd, Ray Floyd tribute band?
Yeah, you probably are thinking Ray okay. Floyd. That's a very good point. Here's what we're going to do for John.
Yeah.
Let's give John an international, a veteran American, and a young American. And for his tiebreaker, what's your favorite first name?
Vic Tabak.
No, favorite first name.
Bill.
Bill. Bill Haas.
Oh.
Bill Haas would be his tiebreaker. All right, moving on. Nice picks, John.
Thanks.
Solid. Good job. Good job by you. Dave Hennett, you're next.
Rory McIlroy.
Yes, familiar.
Bubba Watson. Uh-huh. Ricky Fowler. Adam Scott's my tie. Now, wait a minute. Bryson DeChambeau is my tiebreaker.
Really? I was going to go with him.
The Bryson DeChambeau? Mm-hmm.
They did a really cool piece on him on Golf Channel.
That's obviously where Dave got the name.
Yeah.
He didn't know who he was.
Did you see that?
He's amateur.
He is an amateur.
He's got a great name.
Okay. Now keep in mind, your tiebreaker. You want your tiebreaker DeChambeau. To make the cut.
Yeah, I believe he will.
All you're worried about is your tiebreaker, somebody that makes the cut. That's all you're hoping
for. I'm not worried about being tied.
Okay.
Oh.
Who's left on the list who hasn't picked? It's me and a listener. We'll do the listener pick off the air at 312-981-7200. So you guys take a listener off the air and then give me their name and tell me their picks. Here are mine. Jason Day. That's your winner, by the way. Jason Day will win. The hype is real. Rory McIlroy, if he's not hitting balls in people's yards on the back nine on Sunday. Justin Rose. Andrea's buddy.
That's right.
And, Mary, could you do the last pick for me? Is it Louis Oosthuizen?
Louis?
Mary, you do it.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Thank you very much. Louis Oosthuizen, the only golfer in the field whose last name won a spelling bee. Oosthuizen, use it in a sentence. Louis Oosthuizen. There you go. Those are our picks. And I got to say, not bad. Let me just give you guys a round of applause. That was not as big a train wreck as I feared it might be.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we have a few more days to go.
That's right.
That's a good point. Wait till I start doing the scoring tomorrow.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti standing by. We like to talk to Karen about the law. You hear her most Sunday nights when the Hawks aren't playing on the Noonan thing. What time are you on the Noonan thing?
I'm on for 8 till 9.
8 till 9. And if people want to get a hold of you, it's your brand spanking new. It still smells fresh in here. Karen Conti Law Firm. How do they get a hold of you?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
So the O.J. Simpson miniseries with creepy John Travolta ended last night. And here's the weird part, Karen. Turns out he wasn't convicted on TV either. Wasn't convicted either time. Not 20 years ago, not last night.
Amazing.
All right, so he's in prison in Vegas. For people that forgot the story, there was some memorabilia that a buddy of his had that OJ claimed he wanted back, couldn't get it back. So OJ does what anybody with a right-thinking mind would do after you've killed a couple people. He gets a couple of buddies and a gun, and he goes into this hotel suite, and he won't let anybody leave, and he demands his stuff back. Oh, and good news, somebody recorded it. Ends up in a court trial, turns out, because, a lot of people in this country felt he got off in the first one. He gets the book thrown at him, and he's in prison for how long?
He got a 33-year prison sentence.
Which has got to be the max, right?
That's a lot for what he did. I mean, technically, the crime that he did, it doesn't really sound like aggravated kidnapping. Kidnapping is usually reserved for other types of crimes, but they really, what we call it, upcharging. So, yeah, he got a lot for what he did, and it's a very, very unusual sentence.
Now, I think I'm right about this. Dave, you would know better than I because you're a very bright man. OJ is 65-ish probably at this point?
66, yeah, that's about right.
Is that right?
Yeah, sounds right.
So this is a life sentence.
It basically is, although, he's up for parole next year in October, and there is a chance that he might get out. And, he's not a person who's misbehaving in prison, and even though he is who he is, the parole board really tries to take a very – fair look at what he is and what he did. And is he really a danger to society? People could argue one way or the other on that. But there's a chance he might get parole. There really is.
Well, and here's another factor, and you can tell me if I'm just being cynical here, but we live in a world where everybody wants their 15 minutes. If you want to be really famous and not just be the parole board, let out OJ. You'll be all over the news. They'll be the people everybody wants to talk to. Will that weigh into it at all, or if somebody's not doing the right thing?
It does, and I hate to say it, but it does. But even judges, I think, are influenced by the public. And if you look at the Drew Peterson case, that's a good example here in Illinois, where, the trial judges and the people who are on the first level there, they get the political blowback, If they rule a certain way, they're going to say, oh, these people are easy on crime. But when you get up to the appellate courts, like the Illinois Supreme Court is taking the Drew Peterson case, which is very interesting, and 40% of all cases they take in the criminal realm get overturned. So Drew Peterson has some optimism here. But what I'm saying is when you get up to the appellate court and you get to these places where there's no real political blowback, people tend to look at things a little bit less politically and more, okay, what is the standard here? What did OJ do in relation to what other people did? And in relation to what other people did, this isn't probably the worst crime in the world that they're holding people for. So they may be a little bit removed from this, and they may let him out.
OJ, by the way, in case you didn't watch the miniseries, which was a total soap opera, much like The Real Thing, the one thing they got really, really right, and I just saw a screenshot of it, was when the verdict was announced, because everybody remembers where they were, but if you go back and look at the actual verdict announcement, Robert Kardashian, yes, the father of them, he turns to OJ like, what are you talking about, this guy? This guy's innocent? Because the longstanding thing with Kardashian was that not only maybe did he hide the murder weapon, but that he came to understand that he knew OJ was guilty, even if he had doubts in the beginning. But he's just got this look on his face like, I can't believe they let you off. You know the look I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. And, I think that from the people that I know who were in the courtroom all day, the legal pundits who were there literally 9 months watching the trial, they weren't surprised. It was the people who were watching it once in a while on television, like most of us did, who were surprised, because the people in the courtroom knew that was going to happen, and I think whether it was because the prosecution didn't do their job or because the case went too long or whatever it was, I think that you could read it on the jury's faces that they weren't buying the prosecution's case.
And there is no shortage of reality shows because of the original reality show, the OJ trial. There is literally 7 Kardashian show spinoffs. There's Kardashians plus 6 others that have come since that time. Because you got to remember, the dad splits up with Kris Jenner. She ends up marrying
Bruce Jenner yeah.
At the time. And it wasn't until Kim Kardashian does her sex tape and then mom markets the sex tape. What a sweet story. that it turns into what it turned into. So if the spinning you hear is Robert Kardashian in the grave, you want that for your kids? How's that? Yeah, it's a lot of money, but oh, God. Karen Conti is with us. Karen, you a Janet Jackson fan?
Not really.
That's too bad because we have breaking Janet Jackson news. She just canceled her entire tour.
Oh, why?
Well, she and her new husband are trying to have a baby. So
isn't she like 50 years old?
That's why she can't tour. Got to be very careful. I think at that point you can't move much. All right, Andrea, say hi to Karen.
Good morning, Karen.
Hi, Andrea. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, I'm great, thanks. Wanted to ask you about this new Mississippi, I was going to say gay rights law, but it's pretty much an anti-gay rights law, basically allowing the government to refuse to issue marriage licenses or perform marriage ceremonies. Basically, it also allows businesses to not have to serve gay couples who come in and want to, you know, get their services, basically. How is that allowed as far, because this, didn't the U.S. Supreme Court just make this major announcement last year, celebrating
the gay marriage?
Gay marriage
is legal coast to coast.
Yeah, how can the states go and do this on their own now?
This is unconstitutional. I mean, you can't deny people service in a restaurant because they're gay. I mean, are we going way back to 100 years ago? I mean, that's, you know, equal protection of the law. That's the constitutional right we're talking about. You can't deny people services because of their sexual orientation or their gender. That's just not what, that's not what this country is about and never has been. And the idea that this is based on religious freedom, like, you know what, I'm a Christian and I don't believe in gay people, so I don't have to, you know, pump their gas or I don't have to serve them dinner. That's not how we use our First Amendment rights. In fact, that's kind of singling out a certain religion and giving certain religions rights that other religions don't have. So I think it's wrong from a First Amendment standpoint. I think it's wrong from an equal protection standpoint, and it's going to be stricken down. I don't know why these laws, I mean, I know why these laws are popping up. You know, I think it's in, you know, in.
But each in each case, in North Carolina and Mississippi and everywhere else, you still have to have somebody with the courage to test them. So in other words, when you're discriminated against, you have to have somebody hire you, and then they have to then go to court at whatever cost, expense, time, and other hassles and stress to go through the process to have it forced to become something that the feds say to the states, knock it off.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's the ACLUs all over the place who are going to be testing and are going to be bringing these things to court sooner rather than later. And they're going to be stricken down. And it's going to cost people, you know, $1 million to bring these things to court. I just don't understand what they're doing, you know, for society and why these states are think that that's going to be of some benefit. And as you know, with the North Carolina law, the North Carolina law was interesting because it basically said, hey, you know, municipalities can't pass laws that protect gay people. You can't, even if you wanted to, you can't pass it. So, you know, I think that various states are saying we're not going to pay, you know, we're banning or, you know, we're boycotting going to New York or, no, I'm sorry, going to North Carolina based upon these laws. And it's just going to be bad for business, let alone bad for the legal system.
Andrea was telling me off the air, because we've not discussed this, that the red light appeals all got thrown out.
The civil suits.
Oh, the civil suits for the red light cameras?
The class action suits got tossed.
So nobody's going to be able to make up for their fines for the red light cameras? That's all over? Any other option legally, Karen, for those folks?
Probably not. I think that's the end of it. And, you know, because it's so little money for each person, that's really the way to do it, is through a class action lawsuit. No one's going to hire a lawyer to continue those cases. I really don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Congratulations, city. Nice job stealing people's money. All right, Karen, thank you for that. And again, get a hold of you where?
Call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
The Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Don't have to fly. This guy's been there.
Let
7-Eleven, Buzz Aldrin. It's always an honor to talk to Buzz Aldrin. I've been able to do that a few times through the years, and it's a pleasure once again to welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to talk to you. How you feeling? You good?
Oh, yes. So busy yesterday, so early today.
Well, let me tell you something.
Sleep, but then again, it's better than on the moon.
Let me tell you something. You look great. I saw a picture of you the other day. You look fantastic. What are you eating? What are you drinking?
Well, Neil had a motto. He said that God gave him only so many heartbeats. He didn't want to waste any on exercise.
Did you buy into that as well?
Well, he had a problem with a heart surgery. Went bad. And
sure.
Yeah.
No Dream Is Too High breaks down Buzz Aldrin's incredible life into a list of principles that he values and stories he can tell that only Buzz can tell again and again and again. Well, what are some of the principles you've lived your life by?
Don't give up. Keep trying. And think innovatively, like walking through life with your arms outstretched, and you kind of gather in or pass a number of little things along the way, look out and take a look at each one of them and pick the one you want. But reach out. Look at a lot of different careers and things. Don't just settle on one and get stuck in a rut. Move around. You're probably going to have to make some changes, and they'll be for the good. But look into them first.
But don't quit. Don't quit. Write it down, kids. Don't quit. You believe in something. You have a dream. Don't quit. Andrea, say hi to Buzz Aldrin.
Good morning, Buzz. I love and admire, I guess, one of your life mottos, your spirit of adventure, always keeping that alive.
Well, it's out there, not up there. Buckminster Fuller taught many of us, because he considered the Earth as spaceship Earth. And he always talked about going out and coming back. So you are outbound or you're inbound. He was such a marvelous guy that he has he had many different geodesic domes. And there was one particular thing that caught my fancy called a cube octahedron. And before the space station was designed, I tried my toothpicks and glue gun to construct a lot of things, and I really like this cube octahedron. Now, I finally found a place for the Earth-Mars cycler to use that as part of the construction. Now, we'll build this lunar this low Earth orbit cycler in Earth orbit, then we'll have one at the moon. A lunar cycler, then we have two that take us to Mars. And they all sort of look alike. They're progressive. And that's why I call it cycling pathways.
Here's the thing, Buzz.
To Mars.
Here's the thing, Buzz. You're too smart for this show. I've fully determined that you are too smart for this show.
Well, you want to call it off or or you want to go to, the next one
it's a compliment.
Buzz, when you see movies like The Martian, do you watch these movies and laugh and go, that could never happen? Do you critique those, or do you just kind of take it all in fun?
Well, for that particular one, they did make use in the background of the spacecraft that picked them up and dropped them off. They called it Hermes.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of modeled after my cycling spaceships. And when it came by, they had to launch right on time in order to for the four of them, except they left behind number five.
Right.
Well, we do know a lot about sandstorms, and we know they're going to happen. And with my system, Hermes would go by, and everybody would be dropped off. They would be there. And then in a couple of years, Hermes would come by again, drop off some more
people. How about that?
But it wasn't bringing people back. It had people there all the time, so this poor guy would not have been alone.
How about that? I mean, write this down.
Yep, I am.
Make a note of it.
So I've talked to the author about a new movie that I'm really working on now, just defining it, because a boy and a girl born in the year 2000 would be just the right age, mature enough, but they would get to Mars when they're 40 years old. Not too old, but just about the right background. I was 39 when I went to the moon.
Well, you have to have some experience. You have to have an experience. You have to have life experience.
We're going to send them to the moon first for, maybe a year, putting together from remotely the base on the moon that we design, and the international countries, they build it.
Right.
Because we can't spend all our money. But the base is the same at Mars. So they'll go down and spend a little bit of time on the surface of the moon so they know what that's like.
No dream is too high.
And then they come back, and they make a commitment that if they're successful, they will spend the rest of their life on Mars. That, I firmly believe, is the way that we should begin to populate another planet in the solar system. The president will go down in history for thousands of years.
Right.
So will the crew that goes there and serves their country, serves the world of humanity.
And it's the right thing to do. I got to get Steve Grzanich in here, who is a space guru. Steve, say hi to us.
Mr. Aldrin, hello. It's a pleasure to talk with you. If you knew how big of a deal this was for me, you'd just go nuts. I mean, thank you for allowing me to ask you this question. You're talking about all this dreaming. Have we as a country, stop dreaming in terms of exploration? I'm a child of Apollo, space geek.
Yes,
we need
absolutely
to dream more, don't we?
We've made decisions. Some of them been good and some of them not so good. I'm putting together a think tank which is going to not advise, but inform, educate the American people, the good things and the not so good, so we won't make the same mistakes later, I hope. And yes, we did make many mistakes. And they had to do with after Apollo. Many mistakes were made in which way we would go. We stopped flying the shuttle because it was dangerous, and we were supposed to have a replacement for that in 7 or 8 years. Where is it? It's not there. It's at least 10, 12 years late. So what do we have to do? We have to hitch a ride and pay the Russian space program to take us to $100 billion space station.
I mean, we have to get off this planet eventually, right? We need to start thinking seriously about this, don't we?
Stephen Hawking says he's giving humanity 200 years to avoid apocalypse or pandemic, diseases.
Correct.
Nuclear conflict, a very big asteroid wiping out people on Earth, just like the dinosaurs were wiped out. See, they didn't have a space program, but we could do something about that. And he said, we need to do that, and I'll give you 200 years. So next time I saw him in California, I said, I think we can do this in about 30, 40 years.
Yeah, because the clock's ticking. We don't need to wait the full 200. And I know you got to run and talk to other people, but before you do, I need to congratulate you on one other thing. First, the book, again, is No Dream Is Too High. Get it. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose the first one. But you won the March Madness pool.
I did. But that's okay. I used the predictor, and then I used a little luck.
A little luck.
And I picked this and picked that. You never can tell when you choose the right thing. And conventional people will stay in the rut that they're in, but you have to think out of the box.
There you go.
Think of better ways to do things, and I've been doing that all my life, and that will get a lot of people, international countries, back to the moon, much better than Apollo. And it'll allow us to be the leader. And on the first landing on Mars, they're not all going to be Americans.
Sure.
They're going to be some from other countries, too. And that's the program we need to get on, and the president is going to go down in history, and he needs to sort of be motivated and know that, and America has to get big again.
Well,
think
big.
And
you
don't get great by filling the potholes and building fixing the bridges. Countries aren't known for doing that. They're known for inspiring the rest of the world, inspiring their people by doing something
exactly right
that turns them on.
No dream is too high. It's Buzz Aldrin. You're always welcome here, and I look forward to talking to you for many years to come.
Thanks very much.
All the best, sir. That's Buzz Aldrin. Going to be 86 years old soon.
How about that? And did you see how he celebrated his 80th birthday? He rode on a whale shark.
Well, of course he did. Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
Best morning ever.
So Buzz Aldrin looks up at the moon and he goes, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Anybody else? No, I guess not.
Brussels Airport should be partially operational. We should indeed receive the official authorization to start today. It will take time before we can accept and overcome the pain and the brutality of the images and memories of these attacks. Never will we forget this black day.
We're focused on transit hubs generally. Rail, bus, air. We have to be concerned about the security of the American people at public gatherings, public places.
We go intergalactic to international, and eventually we'll go domestic. It's my friend Peter Greenberg, petergreenberg.com, social media, Peter S. Greenberg. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
We were just talking to Buzz Aldrin. Have you been to the moon? That's like the only place you haven't been.
I have enough miles to get there if I can only redeem them.
All right, so you just heard the Brussels tape because, you know, we have a short-term, mid-term, and long-term problem with traveling. What do we know short-term about how security is going to change flying internationally?
Well, the way it's going to change is the way it changed almost after 9/11. You're going to expand the security perimeter around some target airports, which means no meters or greeters. You're going to have a boarding pass to get into the airport area. They're going to inspect all the vehicles. And for travelers, believe it or not, while that becomes much more of an initial hassle, the airports actually start working pretty well. They're uncrowded. They actually work more efficiently, and they work. However, it doesn't work in the long term because of the economic impact. Remember, after 9/11, we had that situation where people, you know, did exactly that. They expanded the security perimeter. Everything seemed to work out okay, except the concessionaires at the airports got upset. They were losing substantial revenue. And after complaining, those perimeters were removed, and it was back to business as usual.
Yeah, and here, I guess, is my common sense concern about expanding the perimeters. If I want to blow up myself and my car, can't I just pull up and do that anyway?
Well, if you want to make a statement, you make a statement. We've had situations in this country. We had it at LAX where somebody went nuts with a gun outside the departure area. You know, security at the airports usually begins once you want to go to the gates. But the actual, you know, physical aspects of the airport, you can detonate something anywhere.
So what do you see this? Look, you know this better than anybody. What do you see this eventually happening? The same pattern as post 9/11? We secure the farther perimeter and then it falls back again?
Well, I'll give you another. I do, by the way. I'll give you another example. You may remember after 9/11, we had something called positive bag matching, which meant that you could not check in for a flight with a bag and then elect not to get on the flight and have your bags go without you. Well, guess what? That's gone away. I get complaints all the time from foreign carriers that are getting all sorts of bags routed to them for people who never showed up on the plane to begin with. And the question gets down to who wants to spend the money for that kind of service? Well, you spend the money for it after something terrible happens, and that's not really the way to go. You want a good security system, you've got to be proactive and not reactive.
So is this going to fall on deaf ears because you need government regulation on what is still, in quotes, a private business that's publicly traded? And those three things generally don't get along very well.
Well, we got to get back to a different definition of what an airport is. You know, am I going to the airport to move in? Am I going to the airport to entertain my friends? Am I going to the airport to eat? Hopefully, I'm going to the airport to get through the airport to go from point A to point B and spend as little time at the airport as possible. That's not the model that we're following these days. Airports are becoming revenue generators, and that's how they operate. So as long as you're going to do that, how far out do you want to make that security perimeter? And the answer is only as far out as the economy aspect will allow.
When do we see this domestically where the perimeters start to change, and who does it first?
Who does it first is who gets hit first. I hate to say it, but that's really what's going to happen. I mean, take a look at Brussels. Was it even on their drawing board? No. In terms of expanding the perimeter, but now they're doing it. And right now, the damage in that departure area is relatively large, so they can only process about 800 passengers a day. This airport is crawling back to life when it used to operate with 45,000 passengers a day. And now, for those 800 passengers a day who are going through the security there, it's a relatively seamless experience at this point, simply because the airport's not crowded, and they're getting on their plane, and they're leaving on time. but that's not really what everybody wants to do.
The website, petergreenberg.com, is about as good as it gets, period, because he's got everything he knows about travel, and he turns it over to you. And you're going to be in town soon because you're doing your show from here with a special guest. What do we know about that, or can't you talk about
it? I'm doing that special guest with you. As you may know, I do a special series on public television called The Royal Tour, where I go to individual heads of state, and I actually get them to give me 5 days of their schedule completely unencumbered. And then we show up with a pretty large crew of everything you can imagine, you know, helicopters, drones, dive teams, motorcycle teams, whatever we need. And for the next 5 days, that head of state is my personal tour guide to the country for a one-hour special.
It's pretty amazing.
The Royal Tour. We've done it with the King of Jordan. We've done it with Netanyahu. We've done it with the presidents of Peru and Mexico and the prime ministers of New Zealand. And next week on your show, I'll be joined by the president of Ecuador, because that's our next Royal Tour. And the reason why we're coming to Chicago, not just to see you, Steve, is because, little-known fact, the president of Ecuador went to the University of Illinois.
How about that? And when you say ILL, does he say I and I?
I and I, baby.
I'm guessing he does. Peter, thank you very much for that, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it.
You spend 9 hours in Reno, you're going to get jumped by some meth heads, and you're going to get pinned down, and you might get bit. And I'm not knocking it. It's a great town.
It's a great town. Very good city.
It's a great town. But if you come, just be prepared. You might get bit by a meth head.
I'm not knocking it.
It's a wonderful place in the Sierras. The air is fresh and clean. We're very close to skiing in Tahoe, but occasionally you get bit by a meth head. And only 5 hours from San Francisco.
He makes a lot of good points. Tom Lennon, Reno 911. He co-created that show. How big a Tom Lennon fan are you? Do you remember him from The State? He also wrote for Strangers with Candy. He's the executive producer of At Midnight, which is a very hip show for you millennials. Done a ton of movie work. We're the Millers, A Dark Knight Rises, Memento, I Love You Man, Cedar Rapids.
Love Memento. It was one of the best movies ever made.
A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas 3D. I mean, he's done all the big ones. So I guess my point is, if you grew up in Oak Park and you owe Tom Lennon money, he's good. Yeah, he's good. You don't need to pay him back. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm really, really good.
Yes, you are. You're really, really good.
If they hadn't closed Tasty Dog, I'd be even better. But otherwise, I'm really good.
Welcome home. Do you see the Cubs have already won twice and the White Sox too?
Nice.
Yeah, it's a hot start, baby.
I'm a Cubs guy. I don't know if you know that, but I happen to be a Cubs guy.
Did you ever throw out the first pitch?
I certainly did. This is an amazing story. I threw out the first pitch at Wrigley in the Lieutenant Dangle short shorts.
Oh, I bet that was a hot look then on a hot day at Wrigley.
It was a pretty amazing night. So, I threw out the first pitch, and I got it. There's a couple of details when you're there at Wrigley. You know, the owner of the Cubs said to me, he said, aim high. He said, a lot of people throw it in the dirt.
Yep.
He said, you're a local boy. If you throw it in the dirt, everybody's going to hate you. You're going to be a jinx.
He didn't think it was the shorts. He was more worried about a ground ball.
Well, so I aimed pretty high, and I threw it and went right over the plate. But it was the tiniest bit high, but the catcher kind of gave me that, you know, that little kind of grace note they do to make it look like a strike.
Yep.
And it felt pretty good. Everybody cheered. I ran off the field, and my dad looked over to me, and he said, a little bit high.
As only a dad could crush a boy's dream.
It's perfect. Well, it turned me into Felix Unger later, so there you go.
I love the show. I got to tell you.
Thank you.
And we saw Matthew Perry at Carrie Wood's event, was it last summer? Mm-hmm. And he was so focused in on playing wiffle ball that I thought, you know, Thomas is in trouble. Because apparently Matthew Perry is only worried about wiffle ball now. But I love the show. The show's very funny.
Wiffle ball money, yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying, I love the show. The show's very funny, and the writing's very funny, and you're great. Well, as a matter of fact, let's be honest. I think Matthew Perry's holding you back.
just like he did on Friends for 230 episodes. No, it's been a fun show. You know, I mean, it was doing The Odd Couple again was a bizarre idea, and it took me a while to kind of get into it. And, you know, the main thing I sort of thought about was, you know, am I just going to be doing, like, some impression of Tony Randall, you know? And which I didn't want to do because I think he's a genius and those shows stand on their own. But, you know, then when I thought about it, I thought, you know, he was actually the third Felix Unger.
And I thought, you know what, maybe I could try to be the fifth Felix Unger, which is where I am in the number of reboots of the show. And, you know, I hope I've brought some of my own weirdness to it. I feel like I have. I know I brought my own cello, so that's fun.
Yeah, and the, you pull it off, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And the cool thing about, and this is where it gets going to get a little schmaltzy, Andrea, because I'm a big Tom Lennon fan. But, you watch Reno 911, Anna DeMonte's favorite show.
It is, yeah.
But you watch Reno 911, and you're not going to see the same guy that you see on The Odd Couple, because he's a different character. And you don't think about Reno 911. You just think, don't listen, Tom, I'm talking about you.
You're
talking about Felix. You're talking about Felix, and he pulls Felix off beautifully. I don't think about the old Felix Unger. I think about this Felix Unger. It just works, dude. It works. Congratulations.
It's weird. It seems very much like I must just have no personality at all.
Well, isn't that the goal of every actor? No self-identity whatsoever?
Exactly. By the way, we joke about this, but when young actors ask me about the business, there's something I say, which is everybody wants to be a movie star. Everybody wants to be a movie star. Forget being a movie star. Be a movie actor.
Yeah, that's a great
point. Be a movie actor. That doesn't, and if they don't make a $200 million movie that is ruined because of you, you can work forever.
That's exactly right.
Like be Batman's doctor. Do stuff like that. Don't be Batman.
That's all you want in life.
Batman's
right.
Got to have a doctor at some point.
Right. Hey, who are you more like in real life, Felix or Oscar?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I do a lot of yoga. I do practice the cello. I'm a pretty proficient juggler. I love going to the Renaissance Fair.
So, Felix.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, I got to tell you something. It's a great cast, a very funny cast. Wendell Pierce makes me laugh. And Lindsay Sloan, here's a little trivia for you. I've seen Horrible Bosses about 748 times now.
Sure.
And Lindsay Sloan plays the wife of, who's the little dude? The little dude from...
Charlie Day.
Yeah, Charlie Day. Plays Charlie Day's wife in Horrible Bosses, and she's great. You talk about being the doctor on Batman. She has killed it for all the sister, wives, best friend parts. She kills it in everything.
It's pretty interesting because she's basically the female me. And on this show, this is the season, actually, that she and Felix kind of get together. So
nice.
It's both exciting, and it leads to my first Felix Unger nude scene, which is coming up in a couple weeks.
Well, America's demanded it.
Let me TiVo that.
They were so many cards and letters, just bushels of cards and letters. So give them what they want, right?
We're going to give you a high five from here. At Thomas Lennon on social media, and you guys have finished how many episodes now? Are you done with this season?
We got 13 that start tomorrow night, yeah.
All right. First episode, what happens? No Nookie tomorrow night, right?
No Nookie tomorrow night. That's coming up pretty soon. But tomorrow night, it's like a Hitchcock episode. We start meddling in the affairs of the neighbors upstairs. It's kind of like Rope.
Good. Now, what are you up against? Because the other shows you're up against are crap, I'm sure.
Well, one is a television show called American Idol.
Yeah, nobody's going to watch that. That's never going to catch. That's
it's
never going to catch on.
Ever. So if you're watching the last episode ever of American Idol, just remember, hey, I'm supposed to be watching The Odd Couple, which is over on CBS.
Yeah, tape Idol, forget you taped it, watch The Odd Couple live.
Precisely.
Yeah, and what's NBC or ABC running?
Don't even know.
Yeah, see, that's the point. Why would we even be concerned?
Why would they even fight us? I don't know. We did last year. We were like the number one new comedy for the whole year. So
yeah. And you like Matthew Perry, or are you concerned he's going to go full Charlie Sheen on you and you're going to have to quit?
No, he's great. We pretend to bicker a lot, but we're actually quite close.
Yeah. The show works. Again, the show works. I love it. I'm laughing. And, there's very few things on TV that are legitimately funny. This show is. So congratulations. You got another hit, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Come see us when you're home.
Anytime, I would love it.
All right, but at Thomas Lennon on social media, and it's The Odd Couple on CBS.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We should probably check in again with that Wisconsin reporter on the primaries. Let's see if you could track him down, Jake. We'll get to him before we continue here in a second. We have a couple of show business stories coming up, which I assume Dean will talk about with us after 8, including Amy Schumer being upset because somebody called her plus size.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
I don't know. Nobody wants to be called plus size, do they?
Well, she's not plus size.
She's not.
Plus size is...
What is plus size? I don't know what plus size
is. Plus size, I believe, is 16 or 18 plus. You know, if you're size 16, 18... I think it's 22, 24. But I think Amy Schumer is a 10 or a 12, which is not considered a plus size. You know, it's a weight thing. I don't know why women have to be categorized anyway.
Right.
Whether you're plus size or not.
Just easier being a dude.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a big and tall store as a guy, nobody's going, oh.
Isn't that interesting?
But she has to feel badly because she may be categorized as plus size. But do actual plus size women get offended because she's saying I'm not?
I don't think so. Hmm. I mean, I don't think they would. You know what's difficult for a woman? I mean, truly, and probably all women can back me up. We could wear, on any given day, whether it's a skirt, pants, dresses, coats, whatever, 6, 8, 10, 12, they're all different.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
if you wear an 8, pant size.
Well, how do you know what to wear then?
Especially if it's in Europe, if they make it in Europe, you never know. It's going to be different size.
Well, it's just so hard.
Be a little smaller.
You're all metric sized, all of you.
When you go shopping, yeah, it's just hard to pick a size because, like I said, sometimes an 8 will fit, sometimes a 6 will fit, sometimes a 4 will fit.
But
it just depends. It's all made differently.
But I don't know who called her plus sized. But again, it just goes to show, I think, that the hardest people on women are women. Other
yeah.
women.
Oh, absolutely.
Y'all judge each other.
Someone took a picture of her. It was on the beach in a bathing suit, I think a bikini, and she looked great. She looked fine. And someone said, oh, for being plus size, Amy Schumer looks great. Well, number one, she's not plus size, and she looked fine anyway. You know, women are just so put in these
mean.
Categories.
How's it changed from mean girls?
Plus, it's easier for guys, I think, because right when you go by pants, don't you do like width and then length? I mean,
hold on. That's the whole process. You just said, don't you do width, length, and? There's no and.
There's, okay.
You go waist size, length, you're in.
And that's it.
That's it.
And it fits because you know what
your pay.
Size is.
You go to the register and you pay.
But that's it.
And then you leave.
Yeah. See, we have to try.
But the shirt process is very complex.
Oh, it is.
Because the shirt complex, you have to go and you go, is that my size? Okay. And then
okay.
you buy that as well.
You buy it. See, yeah. It's so much easier being a guy and
totally
shopping
easier.
For clothes.
Yeah.
At least girls don't have to measure their necks like guys do all the time.
Yeah, but we don't measure our necks. You know what size your neck is.
Well, sometimes. I mean, necks grow. Don't
Well,
<they?
laughs> yeah, if you gain weight, your
yeah,
neck would grow.
Yeah,
yeah, without a doubt.
Your Adam's apple.
I never have a problem there. It's usually just the butt area.
See, my butt, now
or
I got
the waist.
I got a flat butt. I have the.
Do you?
Yeah, I got the white man flat butt disease.
And that's not a bad thing.
Well, it's not great for pants because, you know, honestly, you know, I've thought about butt implants, but you just don't know what you're getting.
Oh.
No, I do have the flat butt disease.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
So, Dave, you've got a terrific tushy. Don't think I haven't checked it out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But again, it's not hard to buy clothes if you're a man. It is hard to buy clothes if you're a woman.
That's
and
true.
Amy Schumer is not plus size.
That's right.
Is that what we've learned here?
That's what we've learned here. Good talk.
Is our friend from Wisconsin standing by, Jimmy? Yes? All right. Jimmy, is it Wiz TV, or Wiz Radio, I should say, WIIZ Radio in Wisconsin? What town was that, Dave? You said you worked there briefly.
Well, I don't know if I worked. I was.
Oh, your games were
team.
Broadcast.
Yes. So on the Wiz, but that was the FM Wiz.
Wiz.
And we didn't have a very strong signal.
Jimmy, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm just over here. I'm apologize. I'm asleep. A little late. I host the big Dancing with the Lures show last night.
Dancing with who?
The Lures.
Dancing with the Lures, like fishing lures?
Yeah, we do a fishing thing. They got rubber boots on, and I do it twice a year.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. All right, so what town are you in again? I forgot.
We're at Wausaukee, North Krivitz.
And give me the call letters again.
Yeah, WIIZ, Wiz.
The Wiz.
Yeah, we just, our big slogan is Choose Wiz.
all right, so I assume all the candidates came through town.
Yeah, they all came. They all came there. I was at the bubbler this morning taking a sip, and I'm looking over, and I'm like, holy cow, you know, that's Todd Cruz. And
Wait, Ted Cruz?
Well, the guy I saw was Todd Cruz.
Well, is that
he's running for the president thing.
No, Ted Cruz is actually running. I don't know who Todd Cruz is.
A former Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, I didn't get to meet him, though. I got to meet Rick Vasta, who was great. Rick Vasta was phenomenal.
Who's Rick Vasta?
Well, I think he gets coffee for them, but he was so special. He was taking a he took a picture with my wife Gladys and I. We had a blast.
I have a sense that maybe because you're in a smaller town, it's people who know the candidates are coming by. Maybe not the candidates themselves.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. I know that Denny's was packed this morning.
Who is there?
I think Governor Casey Kasem stopped by right over not too long after we ordered Grand Slams.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't even know he had run. And did you see anybody representing Bernie Sanders at any of the fine stops there?
I kept calling him Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
This is silly. Yeah, a guy named Rick Delvis.
And what is
you
Rick?
Know who Rick Delvis? I don't know. He passes around them the little stickers you stick on your cars.
So he has Bernie Sanders bumper stickers.
Actually, they just said vote.
So far, even though the vote occurred yesterday, so far you've had big stars passing through town. You've had people with bumper stickers and people who have seen the candidate, but you haven't met any of them.
Yeah, part of the problem is our stop-and-go light's out.
I understand why they stop if the stop-and-go light isn't working. It's Jimmy. Give me the full name again.
Yeah, Jimmy the Bushman Tadlowski.
All right. And when we come back, you're going to tell us some polling numbers to see if the polling numbers have matched the actual vote next time we talk.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, whatever you need there.
All right. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks.
Doesn't even know the candidates.
No, and he didn't do his big professional out. For The Wiz, I'm Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood.
Dean Richards joins us. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Busy entertainment morning today.
There's a lot going on. Amy Schumer's not plus size, so knock it off.
She is, how about this? Glamour magazine does an article on plus size actresses and singers.
Yep.
And on the cover, they include Amy Schumer in the bunch, and Amy Schumer doesn't really consider herself as being plus size.
We just had a discussion about this. Andrea claims, or tells me, not she claims, she would know, because she actually has worn women's clothes before and does it regularly.
Steve.
That it's, well, I do as well.
Steve.
But I get mine from the Big and Tall men's cross-dressing store. But you said 16, 18, somewhere? That's
16 plus is usually considered plus size. 16, 18. Yeah. 20 to 24.
That's what Schumer said. This whole thing with the cover of the magazine, Melissa McCarthy is on it, Adele, and Schumer responded by saying there's nothing wrong with being plus size, beautiful, healthy women. But she says plus size is considered size 16 in America.
Yeah.
And she claims to be between a size 6 and 8.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
Which
just speaking
half of
as
her?
A woman, yeah.
No,
no
half
I don't believe it.
And there's nothing wrong with being
no,
10,
she's just
12.
Yeah, but don't
she's
lie
not
to other
yeah,
women.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
That said,
yeah,
it's not easy being Charlize Theron either.
I'm telling you right now, I have said this for years, and you know when I say it, I mean it. It is difficult being beautiful. And Charlize Theron said it where?
As anyone would know, Steve would, but Charlize Theron, who is the cover girl, the cover person for GQ magazine, in the article says, when meaty roles come through, she says, I've been in a room and pretty people get turned away first. She said, how many roles are there out there for gorgeous gown-wearing 8-foot models? It's not easy being a classic beauty. When you think about that she won her Oscar, she had to ugly herself up to win the Oscar. Same with Halle Berry. Halle Berry won the Oscar in that, I forget the name of the movie now, but she had to ugly herself up.
Well, Charlize Theron has always been the Mother Teresa of Hollywood, and this is no, this is the same thing. Look, even if there's truth in what she's saying, why say that out loud? There's no upside to say that out loud.
Was she the one that was in Monster?
Yeah.
She was in Monster.
Oh, I was just watching that movie the other day.
Oh,
creepy.
It's
did
creepy.
She, like, have a bad day? Why did she say that out loud?
I don't know. She was just, commenting. I didn't read the article. I just
I think Charlize Theron is plus size.
Oh, no. Don't start that.
So
I agree with her.
Yeah, well, you do.
I resent that I have to ugly myself up every day on TV in order to hide my real
beauty. You should see Dean before they do that to him.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson's tour not happening?
This is the big story of the morning. Early this morning, she released a tweet. Over the past couple of months, she'd cancel a bunch of shows and then go back on tour and cancel. Everybody thought that she was sick. There were cancer rumors. But this morning on Twitter, she posted this that kind of explains it a little bit.
Actually, has been a sudden change. I thought it was important that you be the first to know. My husband and I are planning our family. So I'm going to have to delay the tour. Please, if you can try and understand that it's important that I do this now. I have to rest up. Doctor's orders.
So, you know, she's saying delay the tour, but it's indefinitely delayed. That, to me, that says canceled. There's 55 dates left in this tour, including the Allstate Arena on June the 4th.
How many lawsuits is she going to be dealing with?
This is not going to be an easy one to get out of. She's got all these dates, Allstate Arena, Milwaukee, Moline, and our area. I've been in touch with Live Nation, who books these shows. I think we're a little bit blindsided by this also. They don't really have any refund information yet. Normally, you just take your tickets back to where you purchased them and you get a refund, but they haven't announced anything official on this yet. And interestingly, she didn't say that she was pregnant. She said that they're trying to get pregnant.
Okay, let me just throw something in here because this came up a few minutes ago as well. She's 5 weeks away from turning 50.
Yep.
Now,
yeah,
I know there's
a
lot of things that are biologically possible now, but is this one of them?
I certainly have heard of plenty of women over 50 years old who have gotten pregnant.
Plenty?
I think. I don't think it's that uncommon anymore like it used to be.
Let's go to the uteruses on the show.
Lord help me.
Okay, so Mary doesn't want to get pregnant. How about you, Samber?
I don't want to get pregnant, but it can happen. But if it's okay for Jim Nance to have babies, you know...
No, not have, make, make. There's a difference between making and having. You can make them till you're 80, but you have to have them. Your plumbing is dependent on a time frame.
Well, yeah, but they've got great advancements now. The thing about me is, I don't want to be a 50-year-old with a 1-year-old. They're exhausting with a 12 and 9-year-old, and I'm 40.
Yeah, you're going to be 60 years old, you know, driving the kids around to soccer.
But look at her. She looks like she's 20, Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson does look fantastic. Janet Jackson's not going to be driving the kids to soccer.
No. I think.
Okay. Janet Jackson's going to go, could someone drive the kids to soccer? What am I paying you people for?
I think this is a Dr. Kevin Most question.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll bring that up on Monday.
I think this is a Dr. Kevin Most because I agree with Mary. All kinds of advances. Risky at 49, going on 50, but not impossible like it was back in the day.
Well, maybe you should keep your pants on there, Mr. Baby Maker.
What?
And before we go, and we will... Ed Asner is feeling up Sally Struthers. Are there any details?
If you do nothing else today, Google Ed Asner and Sally Struthers.
Sally Struthers, Meathead's wife on All in the Family.
Gloria from All in the Family. Yeah. Mr. Grant from Mary Tyler Moore Show and Lou Grant. Ed Asner was presenting an award to her in New Jersey. It doesn't really matter what the award was, but he introduces her. And then when she comes up to the stage to get the award, he gives her a kiss. And gives her a really long kiss on the lips and starts groping and feeling. Her leg goes up around his back. You know what I'm...
Is this necessary?
You're getting the visual here?
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Grant.
Hello, Mr. Grant.
Mr. Grant. And they...
Archie!
They're going... they are in full embrace for a little while that I'm never going to be able
what
to
was it? What was he, testing his meds? What was the point?
I don't know what the point was. But then, go to the video to watch that, but stay with the video because after the awards ceremony, apparently there's dancing, and Sally Struthers is doing all this solo dancing like some people have done maybe when they've had one too many 7/7s, and they're dancing by themselves on the dance floor. Sally Struthers is doing that. She dances with the podium. And then finally lays on a chair and is doing like a swim while she's dancing on the dance floor as well.
By the way, she's 68.
and he is 86.
God bless both of them. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
As a result of the people of Wisconsin defying the media, defying the pundits, I am more and more convinced that our campaign is going to earn the 1,237 delegates needed to win the Republican nomination.
We have now won 7 out of 8 of the last caucuses and primaries.
Okay, let's say you're having a party.
And we have won almost all of them with overwhelming landslide numbers.
And you have to invite either Bernie or Ted Cruz. Who are you going to invite?
Oh, Bernie.
Yeah, same here.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz would scare me out of the party.
But you better have soup, I'm telling you right now. If Bernie's coming over, you better have soup. John Nichols joins us. John is a national affairs correspondent for The Nation and is at Nichols Uprising on social media. And first off, John, the main concern I have is, how'd your mother do? Your mother is like the queen of Wisconsin politics.
She saw most of the candidates, and it got to be so intense that they started coming to her small town, Burlington.
I believe that in future election cycles, she will be the number one get endorsement in Wisconsin. Do you agree?
I've always believed that. And you know what the funny thing is? I don't know. You know, because obviously you found some Twitter, I think. But I think it was on Saturday, somebody, you know, who, a reporter who was out in Burlington said, yeah, this lady was telling me all about Wisconsin and all about, you know, when FDR came and stuff like that.
There you go.
It turns out it's Nichols' mother. But, you know, whatever I know, I got from her.
Well, it's pretty cool, though. I mean, I fully endorse parents trying to get their kids more involved in politics. You grew up around it, and the polls seem to play out as we expected. Agree or disagree?
I disagree only on size. They certainly followed the prediction. Sanders won and Cruz won. But with all due respect, these guys won big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these were, you know, doing typical punditry, I was always kind of, as you get closer to the election, you hedge it, you know. You say, well, Trump looks to be working hard. Maybe
back it off a touch here.
Yeah. Because, you know, on the day before, people might actually remember it. And so I was doing my hedging, but I shouldn't have. I should have said, yeah, these guys are going to win big, because both Sanders and Cruz won by around like 13, 14 points. And that's really getting you into landslide territory. Those are big victories.
Now, you got two separate problems here, depending on your point of view. The problem for Cruz is he doesn't have enough time to get to 1237 and enough conservative states going forward. But he appears to have, and the people of Wisconsin more directly, appeared to have broken the Trump momentum. Is that the way this is going to play out?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to rain on Mr. Cruz's parade.
Ah, go ahead.
All right. I'm not sure that everybody who voted for him yesterday particularly wants him to be president of the United States.
Agree 1,000%.
Nominee. In fact, I talked to people. Well, no, I sum it up better. I talked to folks who said such things. But I was at a Cruz event last week. And, you know, Cruz is going on at a certain point, and there are all these people out there that are obviously backing him. They're even holding signs. And there was a guy behind him who was dozing off. I think there was a lot of, you're supposed to be here. This is what you're supposed to do. And they did. But if I can just, let me put it this way. I think when they looked at Ted Cruz, they actually kind of got a little blurry, you know, one of those movie sequences.
Yeah, right. Where they buttered the lens.
Yeah, where they started to see Paul Ryan.
If you cross your eyes hard enough, maybe you could pull that off.
Yeah.
On the Democrat side, the system is such that even with Bernie's momentum, and it's impossible to argue that he doesn't have momentum, he is on a treadmill. He's running up the escalator here, and the escalator's going down. He can't catch her.
I think, your point is well taken if you accept, you know, kind of things are as they are, and I think that's credible. Look, where I think the Democratic race has gotten is an interesting thing. You've got now delegate math, which the Clinton people love, versus momentum math,
right,
which the Sanders people love. And we've seen this before in history. It's an odd dynamic that occurs where one candidate gets a pretty clear lead, but then the voters kind of say, ho, 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 ho. Just a second here. Hold back. We want to You know, we want to keep saying something about this. We want to be a part of this process. So in 1976, long history, long ago, you saw a Republican primary where Gerald Ford, you know, he really got a good advantage early on. And then everybody started voting for Ronald Reagan. He ended up at a convention that was almost evenly split.
Right.
Similarly, 1980, Jimmy Carter really comes out strong in those Democratic primaries. And then suddenly, Ted Kennedy's winning, winning, winning. And he ended up with a pretty close convention. My sense is that, you know, where this thing ends up could be something like that, where Clinton goes in with more delegates, but Sanders closes the gap enough that it makes the Democratic convention really interesting. I mean, maybe not, you know, maybe it does end up where predicted, but you actually have platform fights and a back and forth, important speeches. And for the Democrats, again, I never predict a result until you actually got the delegates. So I'm not saying what's going to happen. We obviously know the pattern here. But for the Democrats, I kind of think that's a good thing because the Republicans are going to put on, you know, quite a convention
yep.
by any measure. And if the Democrats is just a kind of a dull, you know, yeah, you got it here, you know, stamp your ticket, go on out, I don't think that's all that good for them. So I think in a weird kind of way, Sanders obviously wants to go on. There's no doubt of that. But I think what's happening with these primaries, this kind of pattern that Sanders has, is a lot of Democratic voters saying, yeah, we want to have debates. We want to have something. We want to have our own party. You know, we want to have, and I don't mean party political. I mean
party.
Like, good time. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Bernie Sanders is endlessly entertaining. He can't pay for a single thing that he wants to get done. But when he was on the air with us several times, I told him, and I believe this, he believes with a passion everything that he says. And Senator Durbin told us this. He goes, Sanders hasn't said anything. I haven't heard him screaming at me at lunch on Capitol Hill for the last 30 years. So that passion gets over. That belief gets over. It's not just another speech. Every time he steps to the mic, you know, he looks like a guy. He looks like the uncle that's going to take you out for ice cream. The problem is he's also the uncle who's going to go, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something your parents won't tell you. You're a huge disappointment. You're a huge disappointment, you and your Wall Street bank of friends. But
you got the imitation down pretty good.
I'm telling you, I love Sanders, everything about him until he has the job. But it looks like, yeah, it looks like Cleveland, where we will be, and Philly could both light up the summer, and I hope we can do this again because I'm a fan.
Well, I would love to, and I'm trying to get my mom to hop in the car with the kids, and we'll go to Cleveland or something.
Fantastic.
Nothing mom likes better than a riot, eh?
That's John Nichols. He's great. National affairs correspondent for The Nation.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720
WGN Chicago.
8:43. I didn't get to this yesterday. You guys know who Ben Stein is? Made Jimmy Kimmel famous. Win Ben Stein's money. Remember that? That's got to be 20 years ago now. How about that? Wow, everybody else is old. Ben Stein was asked on CNN the other day about Donald Trump's economic theory. Keep in mind, Ben Stein's original gig, teacher and economist. Here's what Ben Stein thinks of how Trump sums up money.
It makes me want to cry because I'm Republican. I've never voted for a Democrat. And to think that the guy who's our likely standard bearer has such nonsensical ideas on every single aspect of the economy is just breathtakingly horrible. He might as well say, also men from Mars are coming down, and I'm going to keep them away with a stick and a bow and arrow. We're not in a bubble, by the way. Most of these metrics are measured. The unemployment rate is not 20%, something he's been saying, which is just, he might as well say it's 2,000,000%. He might as well count the dead as being unemployed. I mean, the idea that he's going to eliminate the national debt, he might as well say he's going to flap his wings and fly. I mean, it's just unbelievable that this is coming from the party's leading candidate. It's just horrifying. I don't know what to say. I'm just so flabbergasted by it, I hardly know how to control myself.
You know, he's not a fan. Are you getting that part? He's not a fan.
I will always just think of him as Bueller.
Bueller. There is a little girl, a 9-year-old girl, who is in the news today. She is a crime fighter. She has actually started a, it's kind of a community newspaper, if you will. It breaks crime news. And she's taken a little grief for her work. Her name is Hilde, H-I-L-D-E, Hilde Kate Lysiak. She got a tip early Saturday afternoon. There was heavy police activity on 9th Street. She hustled over there with her pen in her town in Pennsylvania and camera. Then working the neighbors and cops, she nailed the scoop with a full-length story in the headline, Exclusive Murder on 9th Street. And also included a short video of the crime. Well, she's not too big on the criticism. She's editor and publisher of the Orange Street News in her hometown of Selinsgrove, Pennsylvania. It's about 50 miles north of Harrisburg. And she says, I like people to get all the information they need. She's a journalist, for crying out loud. You're probably one of her idols.
I probably am, yeah.
She probably has looked up to you throughout her 9-year career.
Is that who she, friended me on Facebook?
So here's little Hilde at 9 discussing whether people think she... This clip, if I'm right, Mike, this clip is about her taking criticism about not being out there and mixing it up with people, and she ought to be focusing on having fun and being a 9-year-old. Here you go.
I usually enjoy your stories, Hilde, but this... Perhaps you are too young to understand the difference between decency, respect, and sensational. Sensationalist trash. I'm disgusted that this cute little girl thinks she's a real journalist. What happened to tea parties?
She's reading like her mean tweets.
9-year-old girls should be playing with dolls, not trying to be reporters. You are not 8 years old. Seriously, what is wrong with you?
By the way, the last one, I want you to think about that. The last one was a criticism sent over to the internet about a 9-year-old.
Come
with cursing.
On.
You are not 8 years old. Seriously. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. So, who's the problem there? The kid's got a sense of humor. She's actually going out and doing something. She's writing. She's writing and reporting at 9. Yeah, we should definitely discourage that. We should definitely encourage her to stay home and have a tea party.
I just looked on IMDb. She's the new voice of Lucy for the Peanuts cartoon.
You know what she ought to do? Here's what she ought to do. She ought to be anchoring the news at 5:30, 6, 6:15, 7, 7:30, and 8:45, 9, 10, and 11. I'd listen to that kid all day. She actually wants to work. You have a problem with this?
I do.
Come on.
She's not a
journalist.
She's
a little girl going out. Why would you not encourage a little girl to go out and do this?
I would encourage her to go out and do it and write her own little newsletter, but I wouldn't call this news or journalism.
I'll just call it blogging.
She's got to confirm her facts. She's got to go to school. She has to learn how to write. Okay. I don't know. I'm hardcore, though. I mean,
okay,
I'm
so
hardcore.
Is she competition?
She could be, Steve.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, I didn't look at it from that perspective.
No. You know what? I think it's very noble.
In a nation of fat kids who sit around and play video games, we got a little kid that's actually going out and doing something for her community.
I think this is very...
Salute it.
I think it's very admirable that she's attempting to do this and wants to be a journalist. But for the people who are tweeting her and Facebooking her with swear words, that's terrible.
I just hired her. She's going to be doing the news on the quarter of the hour, quarter after. That's not great for Mary. I just thought of that. Mary, don't worry about it. We're working around it.
Who can set the court on fire? Only the Bulls. Keep us burning with desire. Only the Bulls.
Who can miss the playoffs? In a year they were supposed to perform really well.
That's not part of the jingle.
I don't think so.
Really disappointing Bull season, though. Wouldn't you agree?
No question.
But the good news is we have some good news about your Chicago Bulls. And that's the chairman's in the Hall of Fame. Am I the only one that thought he was already in? I just assumed.
I was actually surprised that he got in.
Why do you hate Jerry Reinsdorf?
No, I don't.
That's
just
unbelievable on this show today. You hate 9-year-old girls. You hate Jerry Reinsdorf. What's
know,
the
usually
story?
Usually you hear kind of... When someone's going into a Hall of Fame, there's a lot of speculation. Will they or won't they?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard a lot of that sort of chatter. That's all. I'm very happy for him. I'm glad. I think it's deserved.
Yeah, we don't hate. Hate's a strong word.
Yeah, why?
Maybe dislike.
So you want me to correct the record on you? You just dislike 9-year-old girls?
No, we just get frustrated by those who claim to be journalists.
I'm surprised Jerry Krause isn't in, really. I mean, I thought he was the architect of those teams.
Depends on who you ask.
Well, that's true. Yes, that's very true.
Jerry didn't speak much publicly about things of this nature, but he did about this here.
It's impossible to compare teams from different eras, but I support Scotty. Scotty says we would have swept them in four. I think we would have swept them in four.
Okay, because?
Because Michael, Scotty, and Dennis are better than anybody they have, and plus the other guys that we had. But who knows? I mean, you want me to say that I think they would have beaten us? I would never say that.
What did it mean, though, if they surpass and break the record? What's it going to mean?
I'm going to be very depressed. The only thing that makes me feel a little better is that it's Steve Kerr.
Again, it's Jerry not talking about himself, but commenting on the Warriors making a run at the record, and Scottie Pippen saying that they, the Bulls of the 90s, would kill the Warriors now. Now, the Warriors lost yesterday.
They did. By the, that was with Chuck Garfine of CSN, who asked the question. Golden State lost, blew a big lead, played a bad game. They had won, I believe, 54 consecutive games at home in
the
regular season.
Until last night.
Till Friday night when they lost to Boston. And this was the
next... Oh, this is a road game?
No, this was at home again.
So now they've lost two in a row.
They've lost two in a row after winning. But it's one thing to lose. The Celtics, at least, are a team in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, the Wolves are not.
The Timberwolves are not. And they blew a big...
Now they got to win four in a row.
Overtime. And here's the four. They have to win at home against the Spurs, the team behind them, trailing them in the standings. Then they go to Memphis. That's a game they, again, who knows?
Not a pushover.
The Bulls figured they would go in there and win last night, and they didn't. But Memphis is kind of beat up. Then they go to San Antonio, and San Antonio set the record for the most home wins to start a season. They're right there with Golden State.
And then where do they finish?
And then they finish at home against Memphis. They have to win all four to beat the 96 Bulls.
So the biggest roadblock is probably that game in San Antonio. Coach of the Spurs doesn't play his guys before the playoffs every year.
And that's the thing. And
so is he going to want to beat the Spurs to keep them from getting the record? Call him right now. Ask him.
Popovich?
Yeah, call Popovich.
Yeah, he's not big on accepting phone calls with questions. He's not big on accepting questions.
No, he's really not. No. Do you know when his wife has a question at home, he does the same thing he does to reporters and on half court. He just kind of ignores her and shakes his head and walks away. Vin Scully is back in the broadcast booth. Why wouldn't he be? He's only 88. Here's Vin Scully as the Dodgers open the season this week.
John Jay had a big thrill. He was in a shoe store buying some shoes, and who came in? Michael Jordan, and he probably bangs it into left field. Up with it there is Carl Crawford. Jay, a big turn and holding with a two-out single. And when he talks about meeting Michael Jordan in the shoe store, he refers to him as the GOAT. And you say, GOAT? Why is Michael Jordan GOAT? No, he said, G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. You ever heard that? Well, that's what John Jay brought to the dance, GOAT. All right, a two-out single, and here's Derek Nard.
You know what I love about that? Vin Scully heard the term GOAT. It was in a story he wanted to tell, and he went and he found out what GOAT meant, and he worked it into the story at 88 years old.
And sounds as great as ever.
It's tremendous. And to bring it full circle, bringing up Michael Jordan, of course, takes us back to Reinsdorf. So congratulations to the chairman on his induction into the Hall of Fame. You're absolutely right. Jerry Krause should be in as well. But Reinsdorf has always been nothing but great to everything that we've been involved in. So, I mean, going back to the 90s and the old days on the loop, he was always cool. We love Jerry.
Yeah, absolutely. And well-deserved. And, look, it's tough to get into that Hall of Fame. There are a lot of people who have been waiting.
And let's keep in mind, he also won a World Series.
And won a World Series and six NBA championships.
Not too bad. You know, if Michael doesn't take that little baseball trip and take those three seasons off, do they win nine in a row? Turn into the Score or ESPN Radio later as they do that as a phone poll. It's a couple of minutes before nine. John DeCoste joins me next hour. We'll talk about what's going on his YouTube channel, amongst other things, and tell you about some shows we have coming up. Let's get the news in just a moment on 720 WGN. This is rough for Dave because he has like a twitch and a flashback where he thinks he has to do the sports right now.
No, not for a few hours.
Does it feel
hours.
Like Friday night to you?
Tonight.
You're doing sports tonight?
I am.
Actually, I'm going to call Lawrence filling in for you tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine.
Want you guys to meet your new colleague for Channel 9.
Woo-hoo.
Lauren Maggiera standing by at Lauren, M-A-G-I-E-R-A. Let's start there, Lauren. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
You are. Maggiera. Good morning.
Maggiera. Thank you for that. And congratulations.
Thank you so much. My goodness, what an honor.
Here's the thing. Two of the nicest people you're going to meet at Channel 9 are the two people that make their real money working on this show. Andrea Darlis. Andrea Darlis, who I assume you'll probably see Lauren most weekends.
I probably will, yeah. See her every Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I've heard really wonderful things about you, so I'm really excited to work with you and meet you.
Me too, Lauren. And don't, you know, we were going to haze you and tell you that you have to bring breakfast every single Saturday and Sunday. Just Saturdays are fine. Full buffet.
Oh, that's sweet.
Full buffet. So should I make homemade omelets, biscuits and gravy, bacon, sausage, the whole thing?
Yeah, all of it. All of it sounds awesome. Okay.
Yeah,
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, we got to spice it up somehow, right, Lauren?
Yeah, don't limit yourself to just one item.
We're looking forward to working with you.
And Dave Ennett.
Oh, gosh, me too. Thank you so much.
And Dave Ennett, who has been doing sports in this town since Lincoln was president. Mm-hmm. Dave Ennett he's somebody who
quite.
Is. There's no better resource than Dave Ennett. You don't even need the internet. You need Chicago sports information. You just call Dave.
What's the internet? Welcome, Lauren.
Oh, thank you so much. I love the self-deprecation jokes you guys just throw at each other. It's hilarious.
So you grew up where?
I'm glad to be joining a team with a sense of humor.
Oh, absolutely. Where did you grow up?
I grew up, my family is originally from Jefferson Park, and then when I was about 5 or 6, we moved out to Barrington.
How in God's name did
country.
You, how did you end up at the University of Alaska?
Wow. I get asked that question a lot, trust me. Like, who goes to Alaska?
Right.
Well, my freshman year in gymnastics, at Barrington High School, we won a gymnastics state championship. And so, you know, I had some other scholarship offers to go to school, but University of Alaska just kind of seemed to be the best opportunity for me. And it worked out perfectly. I mean, University of Alaska, surprisingly, Division I. So, I mean, you can't really turn down a Division I full ride to go to Alaska.
No,
I mean,
true.
I
that's
could
true.
Have easily gone to some other schools, but that was just such a cool opportunity, so I could have passed it up.
And, you know, the honest truth about college, and you know this, and Dave, you saw this with your kids and, mm-hmm. and with mine as well, the school you choose, if you do 4 years at school, there's very few people that do 4 years at college and go, well, that sucked. Everybody that goes to 4 years, I don't care if you go to 4 years on the moon, mm-hmm. it's four of the greatest years of your life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't say that it was the easiest transition. I mean, I grew up, like, loving the city. I always wanted to live in Chicago my whole life. So going from Chicago to the mountains in Alaska, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was a culture shock. I struggled with it a lot my first year, and I kept calling my parents and saying, I want to come home. And my mom said, you know what, give it one semester. You know, you can't just come home after a couple of weeks. Give it one semester. If you still don't like it at the end of the semester, you know, obviously we'll support you and you can come home by the end of the semester. I mean, that was the best advice I'd ever gotten. Don't quit when it gets rough. Just stick it out. You're going to end up being successful. So I'm so glad I stayed. It was such a cool opportunity.
It's great advice, but we feel for you because not only were you away from Chicago-style pizza, you didn't have light. I mean, isn't it dark most days there?
Yeah, and I actually moved there in December, so that is the darkest time of the year. So that was also a culture shock in itself. I mean, the sun comes up around 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's already down and dark by 3 p.m.
Oh.
So it's like sunrise and then immediately sunset. So it's beautiful because you get a sunrise and sunset back to back, but you're also, like, totally disoriented about what time it is. But I will say, on the flip side, in the summer, it is light 24 hours a day, which is the best. So every winter, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, a little piece of my heart is turning black. I can't do this one more winter. I'm done. And then summer was it, and I'm like, all right, this is amazing. I can do one more winter. I can do so I kind of psych myself up every year. It was so amazing. But, I mean, it messes with your sleep where, you know, if it's winter, you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, to roll over or go to the bathroom, and you think, oh, it must be, you know, 3-4 in the morning, and you look, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's 9 a.m.? You know, or you take a nap in the afternoon and you wake up and it's dark. It's kind of scary. You have no idea if you've been sleeping for an hour or 10 hours.
Good God, how do people even get out of Anchorage in that schedule? That's insane. And half of the undergrad population there is actual moose. Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that.
Is that right?
Actual
yes.
moose. Dave, you had a question
well,
for
Well, was this Anchorage or Green Bay? I wasn't sure you were describing.
This is Anchorage, Alaska. Yeah.
All right, so you grow up as a jock. Do you have a sport that you love covering or something you really aspired to?
Well, I think that I always loved football.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that. We don't have professional
okay,
football.
Okay, no.
I love football, but when I moved to Alaska, I was so disappointed. You know, when I started out as a sports reporter, you know, how disappointed I was that there was no football. And then I really grew to love hockey because that is the main thing I covered up there.
That
I
mean, we do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all, like, Chicago has it all. I'm not making any sacrifices here. This is great. So, you know, I really loved to grow hockey when I was up there. I mean, hockey is their, you know, they eat, sleep, and breathe. You know, bleed it. They tailgate in the middle of the winter their hockey games. I mean, it's a really big deal up there. So I really grew to love it. So, I mean, I don't know. It's difficult to say. It depends on the location. I mean, I would still kind of have to say football.
Lauren, you have to turn in all your Packer gear, though. You know that, right? No more cheese. No more green and gold. You're back to the orange and blue.
Yes, I know this, and I accumulated so much of it over the years. So I kept a couple of staple pieces that I'll only wear inside the comfort of my home. I know that. But I love the Packers. They're so amazing, and they supported me over the years. But, oh, yeah, I'm back on the Chicago Bears, baby, and I'm proud to say it.
Are you kind of outdoorsy, living in Alaska and then in Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was in Alaska, I was the first female to take over the fishing report up in Alaska. So there was, you know, it had always been men that had done it. And the guy before me had been doing it for the last, like, 25 years. And he retired. And I thought that they would have some other, first of all, an Alaska native do it. Second of all, a man do it. And then they offered me the opportunity. And I was, like, really, really scared. Because, first of all, you know, what Alaskan is going to trust some woman from Chicago to tell the state of Alaska the best fishing spot, where to fish, what to fish with, for the entire state. And so I was really intimidated by that assignment, but it ended up being, I mean, you know, instead of arguing with the people that really tried to discourage me and tell me I couldn't do it, I just didn't defend myself. I just proved them wrong and just really leaned on the support of my television station and went ahead and did it. And it was amazing. I mean, who gets to go fishing in Alaska once a week for their job? So my family really appreciated it when I'm sending home fresh king salmon and halibut.
Yeah, how about that?
And and then when I lived in Wisconsin, the same thing. I had a hunting and fishing television show, and I think that it wasn't welcome quite at first, just being a woman. People didn't, and I wasn't from Wisconsin either. I mean, I don't know if people were really.
Well, you're breaking down walls. Mm-hmm. You're breaking down walls. That's the thing. Yes. And when you start fishing, you can do a fishing thing here on the Chicago River. You can get mobsters right out of this river. We got fresh mobsters right at the bridge.
Yeah, I can't wait. So, yeah, I mean, it's so fun. Like, why not get outside and get to go fishing and hunting once a week for your job? And I do it on my free time as well. So,
well, we are glad you're here, and this is, and by the way, and we salute Jennifer Lyons and Greg. Mm-hmm. Yeah, write this down, Dave. Greg Easterly.
Yeah, that's the boss.
He's the boss. I've heard. I know who he is.
Because it's about time WGN has had a female sports anchor. So there you go.
Here,
So
thank you so much.
And if you need help moving in, Dave and I both have bad backs.
nice.
Not true.
All right. Hold the line, Lauren. Hold the line. Welcome. That's Lauren Majera, who is at Channel 9 and going to be doing the weekends with you guys.
Sounds delightful.
Great.
Maybe you went to a championship one day. Get that gold jacket like I never got.
Gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives this?
A tradition unlike burnt toast. From the little laminated card of burnt toast to the tie he gave away, Jim Dance will be in the booth. He's ready. Kurt Byram's ready. My friend Kurt Byram, he's forgotten more about golf than I'll ever know. And he joins us. Are you on the grounds yet this morning?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. Couldn't be better.
Are you in Augusta?
I am not. I am home in Scottsdale, Arizona right now.
Well, what made me think you were in Augusta yesterday? Did you go there this year?
I did not, no. I went the last couple of years I've been there doing some corporate stuff. And,
yeah, that's it.
This year, I'm relaxing at home. I'm going to watch it on TV just like you are.
All right, well, handicap it for me. Let's talk about it. Everybody, including me, thinks Jason Day is too good, too strong, and too right now to miss. But, again, we're talking about the Masters. Can he get it done this weekend?
Well, he's definitely near the top of that list of players that can get it done. I mean, to me, I think there's probably about a dozen players in the field that are on that upper level of, you know, that they could win this tournament. And I think it's really hard for a no-name to come out of the pack, a guy, you know, a journeyman pro to come out of the pack and win this major in particular, the Masters. It just doesn't happen. A lot of that has to do with, you know, the way the golf course plays and just, you know, you don't see first-time winners there. You rarely see a guy like Spieth who won it in his second, you know, go-around there like he did last year. So it takes a really special player and I think a certain type of player to win there at Augusta.
You can win it with bad ball – well, no, that's not true. You could win it with an average ball-striking week, but you can't win it with a bad putting week, right?
You can win it with average ball striking if you can hit it 315 yards. And the reason I say that is because then you can overpower the par fives, and that's where you make your score. You have to – I mean, you still have to pay attention. You can't just fire it all over that golf course and get away with it. You have to keep it in the right section on those greens. You have to keep it below the hole. You cannot be past the hole putting downhill all day long. Or you're going to be putting defensively all day. And I think the other thing this year, from what I'm understanding and what I've been reading, is that kind of another going to throw a wrench in there for these guys is that it's supposed to blow hard the first 3 days. It's supposed to blow 19 to 25 miles an hour Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So if that holds true, that's going to make that place really scary.
Well, you're going to get weird winds anyway, right? Because you get an amen corner, and the thing about Augusta is, and you know, I've only been there a couple times, but you get alleys of trees. And if you think of the downtown Chicago area, you know, you get alleys between these buildings. So you could be standing up on a perch on a tee box, like 10 or 11, and down below between the trees, the wind's not blowing the same way. So that's a tough one to figure out.
It's very, very true, and it's especially true down there in Amen Corner when you get down to, you know, the second shot at 11, the par 4 down the hill there,
right?
12, the par 3, and then 13. So 11, you know, runs, let's say it runs dead south, and then, you know, the 12 also runs dead south, but then 13 runs, you know, dead west. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the wind can be, you can feel it down on 11, and then you can stand on 12T, and all of a sudden it's coming, you know, out of the right down 13 fairway. So it can be really hard to read, especially down in that part of the golf course, which makes number 12 a nightmare. I mean, a short little 9-iron shot for most of these guys in the field, and it becomes an absolute nightmare with the wind blowing.
And is part of the problem with 12, even on a calm day, the pucker factor? Because, you know, you look around that golf course, I've heard guys say that's the easiest par three on the golf course, but everybody's focused on it.
Yeah, well, nerves are always going to be a factor there. But the big thing is it's the obvious, the hazard in front. You know, the guys are going to say, well, I got to take that out of play. But the problem then becomes is the green is so shallow. From front to back, it's only about, you know, 30 feet deep, 35 feet deep. So you're talking about precision iron play to a green that's that shallow. With the wind swirling through that area, it becomes that's why it's not just a gimme 9-iron shot like it normally would be. It's just a really, really tough shot.
Is a front nine underrated?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on who you ask, I guess. I it's phenomenal. The whole golf course is phenomenal, you know. And I'm hearing this year that it is in as good a shape. I talked to a couple guys that have been there playing rounds of golf before the Masters, you know, a week or two ago. And they said it is the best they've ever seen it. So there's a lot of grass on the golf course. But, yeah, the front nine is, I think it is, just because, you know, we haven't been able to see it on TV all these years.
Right.
So we're a little unfamiliar with the holes. But, I mean, number one right out of the gate is
such a hard hole. It might be the hardest hole on the golf course because it's
straight uphill.
And I mean, you gotta, if you can't fly at 290, sometimes you can't even get to the top of the hill depending on the wind. So you can barely see the green. Now you've got off an uphill lie, you know, you hit it 280. Now you're uphill lie with a five or four or five iron into that green that, you know, with all the fall offs and the undulation in that green, it's a brutal start to the golf course. So
for people that are golf nuts, you think about the upside down bowls that are at Pinehurst and all the different ways you can play to a green. One of the cooler things I ever saw, and it teaches you a lot about the game, was a practice round at the Masters several years ago. Remember Brad Faxon?
Mm-hmm.
Brad Faxon had his caddy dump his entire set, other than the putter, on the ground, and then proceeded to play six balls with different clubs from around the green. And you know, there was a time when utility woods were the hot thing to, you know, sort of bunt a ball up close to the pin. So he was playing with that. He was hitting everything from a three iron all the way to a wedge because you got to figure out different shots to get it to stop and roll where you need it to go.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, this golf course, Augusta National, might require the most creativity. I think two things, really, you hit on. Number one, I still like guys that can hit it a long way. If you look at the list of the guys that have won it the last 6 or 7 years, it's Bubba's won it twice, Adam Scott, Schwartzel, Phil Mickelson, Cabrera. These guys are all bombers. And Spieth is really a little underrated lengthwise. He can start turning the ball over from right to left and get it out there further than you think. But the creativity factor around the greens has to be really high, and you really do have to have nerves of steel to hit those pitch shots around these greens, because if you make a mistake, I mean, the ball's going to roll off the other side, you can chunk it, be, you know, right back at your feet. It's a heck of a test of golf.
Spieth hit a chip shot last year to cinch the Masters at 18, a little flip chip kind of mini lob that everybody that ever played the game at the highest level like you have went, can't hit that shot. Can't hit it. So
he's got nerves of steel, doesn't he?
It's amazing. All right, so let me just throw a few names at you. Tell me if they have a chance. Phil.
Absolutely. The way he's been playing, and this is his favorite tournament, his favorite golf course in the world, no question Mickelson has a chance.
McIlroy, as long as he doesn't hit it in the yard Sunday on the back nine?
Absolutely. I think McIlroy is kind of sneaking up, trying to fly under the radar almost a little bit. I mean, he's trying to win the tournaments that he's played in recently, but everything is pointing towards this tournament, the Masters, for him. So even if he's flying slightly under the radar, definitely has a chance.
And Andre is friends with Justin Rose. We were talking about this. I like Justin Rose's chances to add to that open and get another major.
Friends being used very loosely, of course, but yeah.
My guy for three years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of an excellent under the radar type of a pick. And I'll tell you something about Rose. Rose 5 years ago couldn't hit the ball further than 285 yards. He has increased his driving distance up to easily over 300 yards now. I mean, he and McIlroy played together last fall. We were doing the fries.com tournament out in Napa, California. They played together on Thursday, Friday. Rose outdrove McIlroy more than McIlroy got it by him. That's how much length he's increased in the last 5 years.
And, you know, that's some gym time, but that's also figuring out how to let the shaft out, kids. Look, it's a tournament where a Euro usually leads a day one or day two, but they always seem to do well. I like Oosthuizen. Any other Euro we ought to keep our eyes on?
Well, he's South African. Oosthuizen plays over in Europe. But, yeah, I think his country mate, Charles Schwartzel, might be a guy who gets out of the game quick. He's been playing well. He just
former Masters champ.
Right. He's won there. He knows what it takes. He won at Valspar down in Tampa just recently, maybe 3 weeks ago. So I think he's kind of on top of his game. So if you're going to go with a guy who plays mostly in Europe, I'd go with Schwartzel. But there's about 12 guys, I think, that can win. I think, to me, we haven't talked about him, but Bubba Watson has to be near the top of everybody's list. I think the last time he won there, which was 2 years ago, he won the Northern Trust out in L.A. that year, and he did the same thing this year. So I would be shocked if Bubba Watson isn't in contention. I did hear he had a sinus infection, though, on Sunday and Monday. So if he starts feeling better, I can't imagine Bubba Watson not being in contention.
Going to be fun. Kurt Byron, PGA Tour winner, and a great job, by the way. I tell you this every time I talk to you, but you're just killing it doing the coverage, and couldn't be happier for you.
appreciate the kind words, Steve. Thanks.
We'll see you this summer.
Oh, sounds good. I'll see you in June.
All right. Kurt Byram, who always comes to town, good friends with Dr. Kevin Most, and he comes to town for the Dr. Most event, and we usually end up playing a few holes, and he's great.
But you're better than he is.
Yeah. 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 I'm better at him than nothing other than doing this.
It's time to stomp. Stomp the millennials. It's time to stomp. Stomp the millennials.
What fruit shares the name of the Beatles' most famous record label? What fruit shares the name of the Beatles' most famous record label? Chime in with your name.
Katie,
yes.
Jackfruit.
What is it?
A jackfruit.
What's a jackfruit?
That I will remember you. Will you remember me?
Yep, lost another one. Started with my son. And then Kevin leaves to do Ro Khan show. And if you spend any time in an elevator with Ro, you got to wonder why he'd make that call.
What have you done? Why? What are you doing to all the millennials?
We're doing it. Yeah, we're losing another millennial.
Oh, it's dropping like flies.
Katie O'Connor's here. Why are you leaving?
I got a really good opportunity, actually.
That's what they all say. That's what everybody says. Well, let's go back to the first problem. What's a jackfruit?
A jackfruit is like one of those really big, it's those really smelly ones, you know, it's like a big fruit and it's spiky and it's smelly. It's in a lot of Asian
markets. Are you talking about John DeCosse?
Maybe.
All right. So it's a smelly Asian fruit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's durian and there's like that one as well. But I think a jackfruit and a durian are pretty similar.
Okay.
So
is your new opportunity in the fruit business?
Yeah, actually.
It is.
Yeah, it's a produce company. It's they do produce distribution and kind of
Jewel?
Create an
is it a Jewel? You're going to be working the produce department at Jewel?
Oh, my gosh. Restocking. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, why not? It's a good gig.
Yeah.
No, what's the name of the company? Can you plug it or you don't want to say?
I would love to plug it.
What is it?
Their name is the Produce Alliance. So they're a great company. They're over on
the Produce Alliance.
It's Produce Alliance.
This
I know.
Is another one of your this is another one of your Bernie Sanders, everybody deserves fruit initiatives.
I just feel like we all need to be healthy, one piece of fruit at a time.
Yeah.
Finally, there's someone who agrees with me on this show.
Hey, keep this up. I'll have her find an opportunity for you over there.
We'll take you any day, Dave.
Thank you,
Dave. Sports produce.
Dave will be sitting over at the Produce Alliance in a cubicle doing sports.
The sports of produce.
Well, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
It's a nice opportunity to work with interesting. Well, we worked at interesting people here. It's a nice opportunity to work with people and do something that's for the good. Well, weren't we doing something for the good of people here?
No, not really.
It's a stretch.
Yeah, it probably is.
Oh, we can't now.
No, for your career path, this is the growth that you probably couldn't get here because all doors were closed. That's the best way to say it. That's actually the right way to say
it. And the money was good.
Yeah, you really, it's all about the money. Taking it for the money. But we're going to miss you. I mean that.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Will you occasionally come see us?
I absolutely will come see you. I'll be the one standing out here like doing jumping jacks waiting for the speaker to turn on outside the window.
Anytime you do jumping jacks, wherever you do them in town, you always get attention. I know that's for sure. I know that's true. Right. Isn't your mom's birthday this week?
My mom's birthday is tomorrow.
What is her name?
My mother's name is Gail.
Is she recovered? Because I gave her a hug when I saw her in the hallway.
I
hug people, man. That's what I do.
He's all about it.
I'll give you a hug.
Her birthday's tomorrow, and she's a very happy birthday to her. And actually, my father's birthday is the same day as my mother's.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're excited for you at the Produce Syndicate.
Alliance.
The Produce Alliance.
I'm an Alliance member. It makes me look important.
Produce Alliance, a front for some communist operation, obviously. No, they do wonderful work.
Yeah, they do wonderful work,
and they'll be lucky to have you. Do you want to say anything to Dave or Andrea?
Absolutely, it's been a pleasure. Wonderful, okay. It's been amazing, and Dave, we'll have you at any time. I feel like we would be really a good partner.
Thanks, Katie. I do too.
We'll
see how it goes here.
You realize that it's just going to be Andrea is going to be the last Mohican, then eventually she'll leave, and it's going to be like Rush Limbaugh on pills. I'm just going to be sitting here doing a monologue for 4 hours.
Yeah. Katie, thanks. I don't think we can let that happen.
I would never leave you unless, of course, Katie makes me an amazing offer.
I mean, it does probably happen.
Well, things an outrage.
Next week. We'll miss you, Katie. We love you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
You know where to find us. We're in the window. Happy birthday, Mom and Dad.
is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Very busy broadcast. Busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy, busy. Wisconsin primary results again last night. Bernie Sanders wins in a walk, but proportional distribution of delegates means that he only gets a few up on Hillary. He's still trailing by hundreds because of the superdelegate situation amongst the Democrats. And Ted Cruz wins big on the Republican side. But the point made earlier by one of our guests rings true with our listeners as well. A couple of texters even chimed in and said, listening to Wisconsin, I absolutely voted for Cruz to block Trump.
Yep.
So there's a lot of that going on.
A lot of positioning going on, yes.
2 weeks from now, you get New York, and it looks like we could go all the way to California, mm-hmm. Which shouldn't mean anything. New York normally doesn't mean anything. Wisconsin usually doesn't factor in this way. But the season goes on, and this contested convention thing could go to the Democrats as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Although Bernie Sanders would need 60% of the votes now going forward.
To get the number. But to block Hillary from getting the number, he doesn't need
it. Far less, exactly, yeah. About 40%.
Let's check in one more time with Jimmy from the Wiz in Wisconsin. Remember their slogan, Choose Wiz. And Jimmy is the general manager, the program director, the political director, the news director, and the daytime talk show host. Apparently they do 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
There's two guys. Jimmy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve. Thanks for coming back.
All right, did the polling that you had match the results in Wisconsin?
Yeah, here's the numbers, and I want to thank Carol Schneckner. She runs the Yarn Barn up there. So here's the numbers, 48, 49, 32, 42, 19, 45, 44, 35, 38, and the letter K.
Okay, all of that was in the polls.
The Yarn Barn?
That's where Carol works.
She runs the Yarn Barn. She's open only Saturday from 12 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah, well, she's got a life. Carol's got things to do. Going forward from this, what role will you play in the campaign?
No, I'm pretty much done now. I got to get back. I got a landscaping business. You know, that's why they call me the Bushman. You know, if you're looking for trim, call Jim.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. That's Jimmy.
Apparently he does other PSAs, too.
That's Jimmy from The Wiz. Choose Wiz.
Mm-hmm. That's great the station. Wiz.
Yeah.
And it's old stomping grounds.
And what town was that? Ishpeming?
It's up 141.
It's up 141.
Oh, narrows it down.
Hey, before we run out of time, John DeCause, mention your YouTube channel, if you would,
please. Oh, yeah, Today in DeCause.
Today in DeCause. Go there, and there's two new videos that are up?
There are. There are actually one new video. The next one goes up tomorrow. The one that is just up is Kiss Me, Katie. My little dog.
Oh, I was hoping Katie O'Connor was just here. So some sort of HR problem before she leaves the building?
That was really weird timing, I got to be honest with you. Yeah. That was strange. She's in another video.
Katie O'Connor.
Yes.
Yes, she is. That's exactly right. But Kiss Me, Katie, featuring your dog, Katie.
Yes. As I say goodbye, and I get a kiss, and then I forgot my keys, and she throws me my keys.
That's a talented dog.
We're pretty close.
Dog. And again, are we getting any national offers for television shows or films, keeping in mind that the YouTube goal here is to make you so famous you leave the show?
Well, this is weird. I'm going on The Wiz.
Wow. Good for you. We can hook you up with Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy needs the help. He'd like to have one 12-hour shift off. That'd be great for you.
That'd be great.
All right.
Maybe you can go to the Yarn Barn.
We'll see Carol or whatever her name is. Today in DeCause on YouTube. Search it, share it, subscribe to it.
Just a lot of fun. Silly fun.
We will come back with information on karaoke over the next few days, no later than next week. Karaoke, the bit that James Corden stole. We'll do that no later than next week. We're tightening up some loose ends, but you can sing in your car for prizes and good times.